How many know it's going to come to pass? Whatever has been prophesied in this book, the heavens must receive him, Acts 3:21, until the times of restitution of all things. We are living in the day of restitution, where God is restoring that which was taken from you. I'll tell you that again. That which was taken from you, God is restoring. What Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden, Jesus came to give it back to you. They lost the power. They covered themselves with fig leaves because they saw one another's nakedness. That's how you can tell when people lose the anointing. All they find is problems in the church. Uh-oh. I didn't hear too many amens. That's how you know when people lose the anointing. All they see is one another's nakedness, like the Pharisee that went to church and says, "Thank God I'm not like others." The publican, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He said, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." What he was saying, he knew his shortcomings. What he was saying, he knew he wasn't perfect. He went away justified. His prayers were answered. But the Pharisee's prayer was not answered because he did not have the anointing. All he was saying, "Thank God I'm not like others." When Adam and Eve lost the anointing, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Isn't it strange that when Jesus came to a fig tree and it had nothing but leaves on, he cursed it? In other words, what the Lord is trying to show us, that a lot of people have a profession, but when you get around them, they don't have any possession. All they got is a profession. Like they say, the lights are on, but nobody's home. Like Jesus said, whitened sepulchres, but inwardly full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Jesus gets up to the fig tree. It should have had figs on it, but all it had was leaves. He cursed it. And the next day, the disciples said to the Lord, "The tree is withered." It didn't happen that day. You see, people want a miracle, but they don't understand there's healings and there are miracles. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Miracles are instantaneous. Healing is a recovery. You go to a hospital to recover. And the best way to recover is by the word of God. But it has to also have something more than the word. The spirit has to be with it. Get John 17, Kevin, where Jesus was praying that we have to have the spirit within us as he and the Father were one. So are we going to be one. That the spirit, it takes more than just the word. It takes the spirit of God, that resurrection power dwelling within you. And that's what he came to restore. He came to restore power. Everybody say power. Resurrection power. That's what he came to restore. And before he returns, I got good news for you, church. You're not going to have to work it up. Preachers want to know, how did you start revival here in Long Island? I did not work it up. It just happened. I said, it just happened. Are you there? Amen. Just was believing. Preaching. One woman got in one corner of the church, one in the back, another in the back, and one up in the front. Four women. They got all four corners covered. Marie Sardella, her sister Ellen. Who was the other one? Her son?
Tim Bone.
Yeah, Tim Bone. And there was another one, a fourth one. And they had all four corners covered, and they would just stand there and praise the Lord. Amen. They said the Lord told us to cover the four corners. And they praised the Lord, and it caught on, and others started praising the Lord. It caught on, others began to praise the Lord. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It says they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God for 10 days. They didn't have prophet of their preaching. They already had the word because Jesus was the word. They had the word. The word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. Now that they had the word, now that they knew what they were believing in, now they needed the power. A lot of people have the word, but they don't have the power. It's like a man in a boat rowing with one oar. When you row with one oar, all you do is go around in a big circle. I said, when you row a boat, you have to have both oars in action. That's the word, and that's the Spirit of God. So they had the word. And for 10 days, they were continually praising the Lord. And then a manifestation took place where the Lord says that it's going to happen before his return, as it happened on the day of Pentecost. When you have the word like we have been having in the school, or now being called University of the Prophets, then you will see the manifestation. When Moses wanted to see the glory of God, the Lord said, Moses, go stand on the rock. And when you stand on the rock, I'm going to pass by and I'm going to show you my glory. Why did he have to stand on a rock? Because he needed a foundation. He didn't say stand on the sand. People don't get it when they read God's word. I mean, the desert has an awful lot of sand. Why did the Lord just say stand any place? But he told them, stand on the rock. And when you stand on the rock, my glory is going to pass. You have to have a foundation, and the foundation is the word of God. And when you have that foundation, when the storms come, and when the winds blow, I said, your house is going to stand. Amen. Peter thought when he jumped out of the boat, when Jesus was walking on the water, he figured, well, I'll jump out. I'll walk like Jesus. And the Lord says, come on, Peter. He wants you to get out there in the spirit realm. He didn't say, no, stay in the boat. He said, come on. He encouraged him to jump out. It's time you get encouraged, come on, to get out of the boat. Get off your blessed assurance. No, some of you didn't get that. Get off your blessed assurance. Get out of the boat, Peter. Everybody was sitting in there. You know, when there's a storm, you're not standing in the boat. Believe me, you're hanging on for dear life. They were sitting on their blessed assurance. But Peter said, Lord, bid me to come. He says, come on, Peter, jump. Peter jumps out of the boat. The storm is raging. He figured, well, you know, it'll calm down. You know, folks say, well, I want to get out in the spirit. I want more of God. Well, you better get ready. You better have, you see, when you have the foundation and you're built on the rock, when the storm comes, I said, when the storm is there, you're able to stand. A lot of people, they have the spirit, but they don't have the word. And some have the word and they don't have the spirit. But they had the word. That's why they were able to praise God for 10 days. They knew why they were praised. They didn't question. When you have the word of God, all question is taken out of your mind. Because you know in the spirit. They mention mountain moving service. Jesus told Nicodemus, a man can hear. You can hear the wind. You hear it. You hear the sound of it, don't you? You don't see it, but you can hear it. The same thing with spiritual things. When Elijah said, I hear the sound of the abundance, I hear it. Because that's in the spirit realm. The same way you can hear the wind, it's the same way you can hear the spirit. When David saw the rustling in the mulberry tree, he knew that God was going to fight the battle for him. Peter jumps out of the boat thinking that the storm is going to cease. It probably got worse. Because the one that was causing the storm wasn't the Lord. Remember when Jesus was going to the Sea of Galilee and they woke him up and he was sleeping in a boat, he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the storm. What was he rebuking? He was rebuking the spirit, the demon spirit that caused the storm. Everyone said the demon spirit that caused the storm. That's why he rebuked it. He rebuked it. What was he rebuking? He was rebuking the spirit. A lot of storms that come in your life, don't blame God for it. He's not causing the storm. But in the midst of a storm, in the center of the eye, when a hurricane comes, there is peace. And in the midst of a storm, you can have peace in your life. When you have peace, you have healing. Get that rebuke, Evelyn. Get that word rebuke, and you'll see that he was binding a spirit that was causing the storm. He rebuked it. Now in Exodus, here's Moses talking. In the 33rd chapter, he said, Lord, that I might know thee, in the 13th verse, that I might find grace in thy sight, consider that this nation is thy people. He said to the Lord, my presence shall go with thee, the Lord said to him, and I will give thee rest. My presence, my anointing is going to go with you, God said to Moses, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He was saying, if I don't have the anointing of God, I'm not going to be able to handle these crybabies. I'm not going to be able to handle these murmurers and these complainers. The Lord said, my presence is going to go. And Moses says, God, I'm putting you on the spot. If I don't have your presence, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. He said in the 16th verse of the 33rd chapter, for wherein shall it be known here what that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. Also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by your name. Aren't you glad you don't need any man to tell you what your name and address is? God already knows it. How do we know God already knows it? He said to Moses, are you here? I know thee by your name. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. The Lord said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and be gracious to thee. I will be gracious and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Aren't you glad that of all the millions of people that are in New York State, that God showed mercy upon you? He says, I do the choosing. I'll show mercy on who I want to show mercy. You're not going to work it up. He said, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, you cannot see my face, for no man saw me and lived. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place in the 21st verse, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Everybody say, upon a rock. There is a place. There is a place you can get in the Lord. There is a foundation that you need. People want to shout, but they don't have a foundation. And when the storm comes, the house falls. Amen. There is a place, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Man. God said, the only thing you're worthy of looking at is my hinder part right here. People go around, you know, with all these visions and revelations, you know. Paul said the things that I saw in paradise, he said, I can't even share with you. He said, the Lord won't allow me to share it because people could not grasp it. There is an intimacy and a relationship between you and the Lord that you cannot share with others. And as great as Moses was, the Lord said, the only thing you're going to see is my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. When he rebuked the wind and the sea, it was a spirit. The authority that he was rebuking, it was a spirit being that he was rebuking. You don't rebuke God. He wasn't rebuking God the Father. He was rebuking the one that started the storm. And that's what you got to get to. You got to get to the roots of where the problem is. That's what you got to find out when you're sick. They got to find out where it stems from. Where is the problem? What is wrong? And they do all kinds of research trying to find out where the problem is. So what you got, Kevin, in John 17?
Well, I have that in the Amplified Bible when Jesus is speaking to the sea.
What does he say?
It says, he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, hush now and be muzzled.
Hush now and be what?
Muzzled.
Muzzled. He was muzzling the devil. Did you ever see an animal muzzled? Huh? He wasn't muzzling God. The storms that are arising, even in nature, are caused by spirit beings. Read that again, Kevin. What did he say?
He said, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea.
He rebuked, give us the chapter and verse.
Mark 4:39.
What did he say?
Hush now and be
muzzled. He said what?
Hush now.
Hush now. Go ahead.
And be muzzled.
After you tell the child to hush, you better muzzle him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some children you got to muzzle. They don't listen to just hush. Hello? It'd be nice if they just listened to hush, wouldn't it? But he was dealing with a spirit. That's why he said, be muzzled. Where are you reading it? Out of what? Amplified?
Out of the Amplified. I'm trying to find, there's another part where he spoke to the demon-possessed man in the synagogue, and he said the same thing. He said, be muzzled.
He said the same thing to the demon-possessed man in the synagogue, to be muzzled. Dealing with a spirit. And this is what happened when Peter jumped out of the boat. And he began to walk. But the word was there. How many know Jesus is the word? And when you have the word, you're not going to sink. I don't care what is raging about you. In the beginning was the word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word was walking on the water. He had a foundation. When you have a foundation in your life, I said, you can walk in places where normal people wouldn't go. Amen. You can walk like I did into a hospital where a little baby had a contagious disease, hepatitis, and they wouldn't let me into the room, and they wouldn't give the child a blood transfusion because they were Jehovah's Witness family. And the nurse said, you're not allowed to go in there. I said, I'm going in there. If you can go in there, I'm going in. You're not allowed. Well, I said, I'm going. They put a mask on me. How many know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't have a mask when they were put in the fiery furnace? How many know they didn't have a mask on them? Why? Because they were established on the Word of God. When you're established on the Word of God, I said, you don't have to worry about a mask. Amen? They were thrown in the fiery furnace, and it says when they came out, their clothes didn't even have the smell of smoke on it. Can you say praise the Lord? There wasn't even a stench of smoke on their clothes. Why? Because they said whether we live or whether we die, it doesn't matter. They had a revelation, and because they had that revelation, they were thrown into the fire, but they came out alive. There was another man in there with them. It was the Son of God. You say hallelujah. I don't know, but you need to thank God. God says, I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, it's my choice. I do what I want to do, and you're not going to change my mind. God has shown mercy upon your life. That's why you're here. There's a lot of people. God says, I don't show them my mercy. He says, I do the choosing. Hallelujah. I don't know, you guys are special. You don't even know. Folks walk around with the, you know, like they've lost their best friend and, you know, my God, maybe things will change. Things will change when you're built on the Word. Can you? I said things will change. Things will change. Amen. The Lord curses a fig tree and it withers away and it dies. They say, Jesus, you know what? That fig tree you cursed yesterday is dead. He said, no kidding. No kidding. That's why I cursed it. It had no reason living. It just had a profession. But it had nothing within. There was no fruit on the tree. And the Lord said, if you have faith, the size of a mustard seed. You don't need a whole lot of faith. All you need, the size of a mustard seed. He said, you can speak to the mountain. People are going around praying for things that God's already promised you. Some of you didn't hear me. I said, you're praying for things that God's already promised you. And if we would learn, like the disciples that had the word, and then they went into the temple and praised God for 10 days, you would see a change take place. You say amen. What do you think Paul and Silas were doing in jail? They had the word. They knew what God's word said. They were there praising the Lord at midnight. And as they were praising the Lord, a whole lot of shaking started going on. How many know God knows how to do the shaking? Some of us, we're going to shake things. We're going to change things. We're going to turn things around. Some of you have been living with a husband and wife for the past 40, 50 years. You still haven't changed them. Come on. Some of you thought before you got married, well, there are some things I don't like, but I'll change them when I get married. You're still trying to change it. It's not going to work. I said the only one that can change things, it's the Lord. Some just need to be muzzled. They need to be hushed and muzzled. You're dealing with a spirit many times. That's a lot of sicknesses. Not every sickness is a spirit. I'm not saying every storm is a spirit. But there are storms that are caused by spirits. There are sicknesses that are caused by spirits. I believe cancer is a spirit. Because it has life and it grows. I believe viruses are a spirit. That's why they can't cure it. And everybody's worrying about getting a flu shot. Well, I got my flu shot. I got the word of God. I'm not going to stand in line worrying about getting the flu shot. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can go into the fiery furnace and come out alive, they sure weren't worrying about a flu shot. Amen. What have you got, Kevin?
Have it Luke 4. Where Jesus was in the synagogue in the Amplified Bible.
Yeah.
33rd verse, it says, there was a man who was possessed by the foul spirit of a demon.
A foul spirit. You know foul? Did you ever have a foul smell?
Mm-hmm.
And even deodorant doesn't remove the foul smell? The spray that you have don't even remove the foul smell? What was it, Kevin? A foul what?
It was a foul spirit of a demon.
A foul, a stinking, say a stinking spirit.
A stinking spirit.
Foul spirit. What happened?
He cried out with a loud, deep, terrible cry.
Oh, go ahead.
Let us alone.
Let us alone.
What have we in common,
Jesus? You see, we have been troubling Long Island. Are you here, folks? We trouble Long Island. That's what they said about Elijah. That's what Ahab said when he met him. He says, you know, you're the one that's causing all the problems. Well, sure. He said, hey, listen, there's going to be a famine. He wasn't afraid of the famine because he knew the word of God. God sustained him and God kept him. The Lord was there. They called him the troublemaker. When you believe God, you're going to have a title over you that's going to be troublemaker. Because your life is different than those that are around you, and people don't understand, you know, about your life. That's what Elijah was called. He was called the troublemaker. So what happened, Kevin?
What have we in common, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus, in the 35th verse, rebuked him, saying, be silent, muzzled, and gagged.
Be what?
Muzzled.
Muzzled and what?
Gagged.
Same thing he used for the storm?
Yes.
When he muzzled the storm. Here it tells you in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, in the 17th verse, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, are thou he that troubleth Israel? You see, when you know the word of God, there's going to be those like Ahab that have a spirit. Because they wanted to take over and they wanted to rule Ahab and Jezebel. They went down to Naboth's vineyard. And Ahab said, I want your vineyard. You know what Naboth said? God forbid that I should give you my father's inheritance. Well, you know the word of God, and the enemy comes, you're going to bring trouble to him. I said, you are going to trouble the enemy. Amen? Instead of the devil troubling you, you're going to give him a migraine headache. Every time Jesus came around, the devil was troubled. They said, what are you doing here? Why have you come to trouble us before our time? Amen. Devils didn't trouble him. He troubled the devils. Read that again, Kevin.
He said, what have you to do with us? What have we in common, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?
See that? Come to destroy us, come to trouble us. When you have the anointing of God upon your life. Amen. Like Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den. Oh, come on now. Hey, he was 90 years old, folks. He was 90 years old when he was thrown in the lion's den. You know why? Because he knew the word of God. And every day, morning, noon, and night, he would open his window and he'd say, hey, God, we're ready to get out of here. 70 years are up. People don't even know they're getting ready to get out of here. Instead of complaining when the mailman comes and the adversary comes like a roaring lion and puts them bills in your mailbox, say, hey, God, we're getting out of here, Lord. You got to take care of this situation for me. That's what Daniel was doing. He was reminding God 70 years was up of captivity. And he'd open his window in the morning. He'd open it up at noon. And he'd open it up in the evening. And he was praying toward Jerusalem, reminding God. That's why Samson was told to pick up a new jawbone of an ass. Didn't say pick up an old jawbone. Because a new jawbone is moist and it doesn't break, and he slew 1,000 of the enemy. If it was an old jawbone, he wouldn't be able to slay the enemy because the bone would be brittle and it would break. Well, I'm here to tell you with brittle bones that God is going to restore your bones. I'm going to tell you that again. I said, God is going to restore your bones. Do you know that when they had to eat the lamb in Egypt, when they killed it and they put the blood on the doorpost, they could not break a bone of that lamb. Say they couldn't break a bone. They were not allowed to break any bones. And it's the same thing when Jesus was on that cross. They went to break his legs. Because crucifixion is one of the slowest deaths there is. And the sun was going down and they wanted to get back home because they had to be home before the sun went down. It was a holy day. So they went to break Jesus' legs, but he was already dead. So instead of breaking the bones in his body, they pierced his side with a spear. And blood and water came forth. Not a bone of his was broken. And in the Old Testament with the lamb, not a bone could be broken. And God is going to heal your bones. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. It's not my word. Not a bone of Jesus was broken. Not a bone on that lamb in the Old Testament was broken. I got good news for you tonight. Restoration is here. The heavens must receive him until the times of restoration of all things. Acts 3:21. That's why they were able to praise the Lord. That's why Daniel was able to go with the lions then. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to go in the fiery furnace. They knew the word of God. And that's why Ahab said in 1 Kings 18:17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know what Elijah said? I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel. And now Elijah said, we're going to prove something right here and now. The God that I serve is going to answer by fire. Can you say amen? He said, get all your false prophets together. Get them together because the God that I serve, and he said in 1 Kings 18 and 19, call you on the name of your gods. I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock that was given them, they dressed it, they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nothing answered. And they leaped upon the altar, and they started shouting. They leaped on the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God that is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or preadventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened. You know what that word pursuing means in 1 Kings 18 and 27? Maybe he's sitting on the toilet. Hello? That's what he's saying. Am I right, Evelyn? Does pursue mean what?
Yes, it means to relieve oneself.
To relieve oneself. Put a circle around the word pursuing. Hello? Maybe your God is sitting on the toilet. Maybe he's on the journey. Maybe he's sleeping. He must be awake. And they cried and they cut themselves with knives and lances until the blood gushed out. It came to pass, when midnight was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any answer. You know what Elijah said? Come here. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You see what he did? He repaired. The Lord is going to repair. He's going to restore the altar that's been broken down. If you want God to answer by fire, the altar has to be repaired. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. How's that reading the Amplified, Kevin? In 1 Kings 18.
27th verse.
Yeah, you can start with that. Go ahead.
The Amplified or the Living?
Either one. I don't know.
The Living Bible says, about noontime, Elijah began to mock them. You'll have to shout louder than that, he scoffed, to catch the attention of your God. Perhaps he is talking to someone or is sitting on the toilet.
Oh, it says that in the Living Bible?
Yes.
I'm not making things up here. We're not here to entertain you. I'm just telling you, you know, the reality. People don't like the reality. They want to be so spiritual that, like, Jesus never went to the bathroom. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. You sure you read that right in the Living Bible?
Yes.
What did it say?
It says, perhaps he's talking to someone or is sitting on the toilet, or maybe he's away on a trip or is asleep and needs to be wakened. So they shouted louder and, as was their custom, cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no reply, no voice, no answer. Then Elijah called to the people, Come over here. And they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord.
What did he do, Kevin?
He repaired the altar of the Lord.
Because they had torn down the altar of God.
That's right.
They tore it down. The false prophets tore down the altars of God. But he repaired it. That's why God answered the prayer of Elijah, and that's why God answered by fire. You see, every time you make your way to the house of God, you're repairing the altar of God. Are you here tonight? I said, you're repairing the altar of God. You're presenting yourself to him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. How do you repair it? You present yourself to him. I wish somebody would say hallelujah. That's how you repair it. It's not talking about coming here and building a new altar here. It's presenting yourself a living sacrifice. So after he repaired the altar, what happened, Kevin?
He took 12 stones, and each one represented the tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the Lord's altar, and he dug a trench about 3 feet wide around the altar. He piled wood upon the altar, cut the young bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Fill 4 barrels with water, he said, and pour the water over the carcass and the wood. And after they had done this, he said in the 34th verse, do it again. And they did.
And now they did it a third time. There's the number three. Everyone say, there's the number three again. Why did he have it do 7 or 8 or 10 times? But he said he did it a third time because 3 represents double portion. I told you today is the third, isn't it? I told you God's going to do a new thing. Why? Because this month is the repairing of the altar. Amen. We're standing upon that rock, and that rock is the word of God. And we're presenting ourselves to the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, no matter what comes, what storm is about, no matter what is taking place, discouragement, what problems in the home or in our finances, we're standing upon the rock and we're going to see your glory. Hallelujah. We're going to see the glory of the Lord. I said, you're going to see the glory of the Lord be made manifest. That God's going to meet your needs. He'll shut the adversary's mouth. He'll shut the mouth of the lion. Can you say hallelujah? He'll shut the devourer's mouth. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah anyhow. My, oh, me, oh, my jambalaya. Crawfish pie, Philly gumbo. Go down to New Orleans, all night long they party. They don't sleep at night. During the day, nobody's out on the streets. At night, everybody's out. They're out till daybreak. Amen. I said, we're going to get into the place where it doesn't matter whether it's night, whether it's day. Amen. That the Lord is going to be with you. We set a schedule. Well, the Lord's going to meet us at 7:30 at the tabernacle. No, we're building an altar that wherever you are, God is going to be there. Can you say amen? That wherever you are, the Lord is going to be there with you and he's going to answer. And this is what Elijah said, throw water on the sacrifice. And you see, the devil would like to put out your anointing. He'd like to take the fire out of your life. He'd like to cause all kind of problems for you to lose your joy. He said, throw 12 barrels of water on there. Cover it. And then he said, now, God, go ahead and do what you have to do. Because to let them know that this is not a work of man, but it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil is not going to be able to put out your fire. He's not going to be able to take your life. I said he's not going to be able to take your life. I said he's going to try. He's going to try. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said it doesn't matter. And because they were built on that word and they had an altar, they were put in that furnace, but they came out alive. Because Daniel was reminding God what was in his word, saying, Lord, the time of captivity is over with. I'm here to tell you the days of your bondage is over with. You're getting ready to get out of here, and you're not going to leave here defeated. Can you say amen?
Amen.
When they came out of Egypt, they did not leave it defeated. They left victorious. Oh, go ahead and praise the Lord tonight.